All right, let's go ahead and go into the sermon topic, which you already know what it is, since I mentioned it the other day, and Mr. Buford mentioned it again today. I'll give you an idea of why I'm going through this particular sermon. I want to talk about the new moons today. On December 1st, as you heard, I gave a sermon on why we don't observe New Year's as a church. We mark our religious year according to a different calendar than the calendar that is commonly used. Now, I say a religious year. We have a civil year. We have a business year. You know, some business years start January 1st. Some start July 1st. There are business years. There are civil years. There are also religious calendars. And the Church of God, a worldwide association, uses the Hebrew calendar, the standard Hebrew calendar that's been in existence for hundreds, if not thousands of years. But every 4 to 5 years, the same issues tend to crop up. People start to do their own personal studies, which is a great thing. There's a lot of information out there on the internet, some of it good, some of it not. But a lot of information is out there, and people start to do this study on the Hebrew calendar, and they get confused. And as a result of that, white papers get written, submitted to the doctrinal committee. They look at them. They issue a statement, which is most often a reiteration of our long-held doctrinal belief. And then there's a lot of discussion that goes around about whether or not we're keeping the right calendar or if we're keeping the right day for Pentecost. If you've been around the church for a long time, you know a lot of those issues. It isn't my intention to go through the entire study of the calendar because that would be way too big. But if you are interested in it, and I've put it up here so that you can see it, if you want to read the current COGWA study paper or white paper on the Hebrew calendar, you can go to members.cogwa.org and then go under the education and study papers. And then this is actually a listing of all of the white papers that we have out there. And any of the others that you want, tithing, Last Great Day, voting in politics, marrying in the faith, the whole thing. But the Hebrew calendar is out there, and it goes into more detail than what I'm going to cover today. My intention isn't to talk about all of the calendar, but one aspect of it that has caused some concern and some confusion in the church in the past. We keep the Sabbath every 7 days, as Scripture tells us to. We keep the festivals, the seven festivals, as in their seasons, as the Bible commands. But we don't observe, as a rule, the new moons. And why not? Why don't we keep the new moons? Now, again, for the sake of time, I'm going to have all of the scriptures on the screen for you to see today. So hopefully that will be helpful. You're welcome to turn to them as well, but they will be here in case you want to see them. I want to start in 1 Chronicles chapter 23. And by the way, I forgot to ask for this. Do you have that little light thing that I could get? 1 Chronicles chapter 23, I want to start in verse 27 and read what it is that is said in the Bible about this particular observance. It says, "For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above." Here's when David set up the Levitical priesthood from the time that they were going to do the temple and all of that. He set up duties for them to do. Here's some of those duties. Their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord. And we know that. They did everything that had to do with keeping the temple up to date. In the courts, in the chambers, in the purifying of all of the holy things, in the work of the service of the house of God. Thank you. Make sure I know how to use it here. Good. Got it. Thank you. In the service of the house of God. But notice in verse 31, here's one of the things that the priests during the days of David were to do. At every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the festivals, by number, according to the ordinance governing them, regularly before the Lord. Now, I just said earlier, we keep the Sabbaths and we keep the festivals, but stuck in the middle of this verse here is the new moons, which in David's time they did keep. Why don't we? Why do we keep the Sabbaths and the festivals, but we don't observe the new moons? And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, there have been some critics. Well, there's always been critics of the Church of God. That will never stop. But there have been some critics in the past that have said, if you keep the Sabbath and the festivals, then you also have to keep the new moons. Otherwise, you're chucking one out but keeping the other two, and they all three are a part of the Old Testament dogma, so therefore we should be keeping them. And some people do. There are some Church of God groups, splinter groups, that do observe the new moons. Others have told us that the Sabbath, the festivals, and the new moons were only for ancient Israel, and they're not binding on the church today. Are either one of those positions correct? There are some who say that we have to observe the new moons, and there are others who say that we don't. Now, to say that we don't observe the new moon is inaccurate. Mr. Buford obviously observed the fact that tonight is going to be a new moon. We do observe it, we just don't celebrate it. We don't treat it as a holy day. Why, if David set it up to where the priests were supposed to offer a burnt sacrifice on the new moons, along with the Sabbaths and the festivals, why don't we do that today? This will be a scientific, for those of you that like science. It will be detailed, hopefully not so detailed that people start closing their eyes if they do. I'm going to have Linda Morgan here. She's got an air gun, and she's going to squirt and get everybody awake. Josh, you're going, please don't do that. What purpose did the observance of the new moon do for ancient Israel? Is it a needed observance today? Will it be observed in the millennium? Some of you probably already know the answer to that. It will be. So if it was observed then, and it's going to be observed in the millennium, why don't we do it now? What's the story behind the new moons? Let's go back to the beginning, since I like to start at the beginning. I want to read Genesis chapter 1. I want to read something that you may or may not have seen before as you read through this. I always find it interesting. I know I've said this a lot here. When you read something as you're giving a specific topic of study, things tend to pop off the page at you, and hopefully this will for you as well today. Genesis 1, verses 14 through 16, this is talking about something that God did during the initial creation week. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night." That's one purpose for the lights. "And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." So we actually have a dual purpose for the lights that he created. One was to separate day from night, and the other was to be able to mark the seasons. Verse 15, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. And so for that purpose, it says, God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. So one light would be more prominent during the day. We know that is the sun. One would be more prominent in the evening. We know that's the moon. You often can still see the moon during the daytime, but with the sun out, it looks pale and almost transparent. Have you ever seen the moon in the daytime when it's light out? It almost looks like you can look through it. It's just not that bright. But did you know that one of those great lights was to divide day from night, and one of them was to discern the seasons? Which one would be which? Seasons, by the way, in this verse is the Hebrew word moed, and that's the same word used in Leviticus 23 for God's festivals. When it says, "You will keep my appointed feasts," when you keep my festivals, he's talking about the moeds. So one of these two great lights was to discern day and night, but the other was to discern when the festivals would be kept. Now let's look and see what Psalm chapter 104 tells us, Psalm 104, verse 19. I'm going to read it first of all in the New King James Version. This says that God appointed the moon for the seasons. That word seasons there is moed. He assigned the moon to determine when the festivals would occur. And the sun knows it's going down. That's a very poetic way of saying something. When you read that, you think, what does that mean? Look at it in another translation here, the Message Bible. The moon keeps track of the seasons, but the sun is in charge of the day. The sun is the one, as we'll see in a diagram in a little while, the sun is the one that gives us daytime and nighttime as the earth rotates. But the moon is used in God's calendar to determine when the festivals are going to be kept. And that was one of the reasons why it was important for them. You know, back in the day before they had a calendar, how did they know when the new moon would start? Someone would traipse up to the top of a mountaintop and look. And they would have people regularly go up and look. And it's, oh, okay, that's the start of a new moon, a new month. How was that discerned? You know, without the sun, we wouldn't know when one day ends and another begins. You ever thought about that? If we didn't have the sun, how would we mark a 24-hour period of time? It wouldn't make any sense. The earth would still spin on its axis once every 24 hours. We would see once every 24 hours the same stars kind of come back into place. But it's not as the wow factor as day and night. That's obviously a big deal. Was thinking about this the other day, and I looked something up. I think it was Dr. Avent, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. Maybe somebody else here might have been Wayne Sanders, for all I know. But someone asked me, if we ever end up going to space, how are we going to mark the Sabbath? You ever thought about that? Probably it never even occurred to people. When you're on Earth, and the Earth rotates around its axis every 24 hours, you count 7 days, and then you've got another Sabbath. But in space, you circle the Earth once every 90 minutes. So every 90 minutes is a day because you see the sun again and the sun again and the sun again. You don't see it every 24 hours. You see it every 90 minutes. So if you're in space, do you celebrate the Sabbath every 6.5 hours or 8 hours or whatever it is? What do you do? Well, I hadn't thought of it. As much of a space junkie as I am, it just never dawned on me. So I looked it up, and whether or not you would accept this answer or not, there was an Israeli NASA astronaut who was a conservative Jew, and he knew he was going to get sent to the International Space Station, so he asked that question of his rabbi, true statement. Unfortunately, and he did go into space, and he did observe the Sabbath, but he was on the crew that came back that where it disintegrated over Texas. I don't know if that was Challenger or which one it was, but you know what I mean. He was killed on his way back home, but he was in space. He had NASA get him kosher food, which they did. They weren't happy with it, I'm led to believe, but they found a company that would make kosher food in freeze-dried packages for them to be able to take with them. But he asked the rabbi, how do I observe the Sabbath? Do I observe it once every, 8 hours or so, every 90 minutes times 7 rotations? And so it was determined after a council of rabbis got together that from wherever he took off, so in this case it would have been Johnson Space Center, that is where he should, when they start the Sabbath there, that's where he should start the Sabbath in space. And that was their determination. Not a very good one, but not a very bad one either. I'm not sure what I would say. But the sun for us on Earth determines when the Sabbath starts. Without the sun, we wouldn't be able to determine the Sabbath. It's a weekly cycle, and it is a solar event. The Sabbath is in no way connected to the seasons of the year. The moon has no bearing on the Sabbath. When we keep the Sabbath, we keep it because the Earth rotates 24 hours, 7 times, and then we have another Sabbath. And that was the way God established it. But without the moon, we wouldn't be able to figure out the festivals. And we'll talk about that as we go into it. I want you to think about it. Israel is traveling in the wilderness. They have this first Passover. They've been in slavery for hundreds of years. And now all of a sudden they have this Passover event. And God says, I want you every year, once a year, to observe this Passover celebration. How are they going to do that? They're in the wilderness. How do they know when the next year is up? Do you think that they had a sophisticated calendar? These were slaves that were out in the middle of the wilderness. I'm sure that Egypt had a calendar, but I doubt if it was printed. They didn't have Epson printers back then. They probably had some people, as the Jews did later on, some priests that were in charge of keeping track of the calendar, and they would have to make announcements. This is the start of the month, this is the start of the year, etc. But they're out in the middle of the wilderness. Would God use the Egyptian calendar to determine when Passover should be? Or did he have another idea? I'll bet the first Passover fell on a specific date on the Egyptian calendar, and I'll bet for years after that, the Egyptians would have thought about that. Oh, yeah, it was a year ago today that the frogs and the lice came on us. Oh, yeah, that was a year ago. This is the 5-year anniversary of when we finally got rid of those troublemakers, you know. I bet it was probably something on their calendar. But after 400 years in slavery, they would have been familiar with the Egyptian calendar, but God didn't use the Egyptian calendar to determine when the start of the year should be and when the Passover should be observed. Why not? Well, you remember we read it in Genesis chapter 1. It's on there. That's what he put the moon for. He put the moon in its place for people to be able to determine when the start of a month and when the start of the year would be. So when he reintroduced Israel to the festivals, he used this very device, the moon, that he created for that specific job. So the Sabbath is a solar event. The festivals are a lunar event. The Sabbath only needs the sun to be determined. Every 7 days we have the Sabbath. But you cannot figure out when to keep the festivals without the moon. The moon was set in place for the seasons, for the moeds, for the festivals. The appointments of God are determined by the moon. Now, alert, here's where we go into science. So if you're not a science person, you can take a nap for a few minutes. But I put this in here. This is not to scale. In fact, the sign even says not to scale. But I wanted to give you an idea of what it is that happens here. The whole reason why this light is in here was because as I was doing this study, I got to asking myself questions about it. I have to see things diagrammed. I'm a visual person. So if you're not a visual person, I'm sorry, but this is the way that I could see it. Again, not to scale. So you have the sun that's on the left-hand side there, and you've got the earth that is circling around the sun. So you've got the earth here, and this represents this elliptical. So the earth is going around the sun every 365 and a quarter days. You also have the moon that is circling the earth. But there's two things that make this a little odd. One, the earth isn't straight up and down to the sun. The earth is on a tilt, 23 and a half degrees. And the moon is not in the same elliptical as the sun orbit. The moon has a 5-degree declination or inclination, depending upon where it is. So the moon and the sun and the earth, when you talk about, one of the questions why I looked this up was I was thinking, well, if this is true, why don't we have solar eclipses and lunar eclipses every month? And because in my mind, I was thinking that the moon and the earth and the sun were all on the same plane. If they were all on the same plane, we would have a total eclipse and a lunar eclipse every month. We'd have two eclipses. But we don't. And it's because the moon is offset a little bit. But when it's offset like this, the sun is so bright that during the new moon, we can't see it. It's just off to the side of the sun, but the sun is so bright, we can't see it. It's as if it's not there. And you actually can see this in this diagram. You see how this side of the moon is lit because it's by the sun. This side of the earth is lit. So people sit in this part of the earth, when they would look toward the moon, it would be totally black, and you can't see it. That's this period, this phase of the moon that we call a new moon. Let me just see if there's anything else I wanted to say there. Okay, that's pretty much it. All right, so when the moon is in this orientation to the earth, we can't see it. Now, if you were to go out and you were to look in the night sky, depending upon what day it is, this would be the first day of the month when the first crescent is seen. And the second and the third and the fourth and so on, all the way through to the 15th day, approximately 14 and a half days, when we would have a full moon. And then 14 and a half or 15 days later, we would see the last little sliver of the moon before it disappears. And when it disappears for anywhere from 15 to 30 hours, depending upon its inclination or declination, depending upon where the earth is. So there's this period of time where you can't see it at all. So what the Jews would do, and I even think that the ancient Egyptians and probably the Muslims do the same thing, because the Muslims do it by the lunar calendar, they would send people up and they would look for that first little sliver, that first little crescent. and that crescent would tell them when the new month would start. Now, I want to look at the term new moon here. If you were to take this one of Terry's concordances back there and look up the term new moon, the very first time it's used in scriptures is Numbers 29. And I want to go read this because this gives us a really good idea of what that term actually means. And I'm just curious, can people in the back row, can you see that okay? Is that, we got this new screen to make it, trying to make it a little easier. Kayla's in the back there, she can see it, that's good. We want this for when Mr. Franks comes, because 90% or probably more of what he does is photographs from the East Coast. All right, this is talking about the Feast of Trumpets. Did you know that there's only one festival that is on a new moon? That is the Feast of Trumpets. Let's read about it. It says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, when this the new moon comes, you will have a holy convocation. Uh-oh, is that saying that we need to keep the new moons? Because on the first day of the seventh month we do? Let's keep reading. On this special day, the first day of the seventh month, you will do no customary work. For you it is a day of the blowing of trumpets, and you will offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Eternal. One young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in the first year. That was what ancient Israel was to do, without blemish. Their grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. And also one kid of the goats as a sin offering to make an atonement for you. So this was something they were to do on the first day of the seventh month. But notice in verse 6, if you keep reading, it says, besides the burnt offerings with its grain offerings for the new moon. This was a new moon. It also was the Feast of Trumpets. So what this is saying is there were regular new moon offerings, but on this one, you not only did the offerings that you would do for the new moon, but you did offerings for the Feast of Trumpets. In other words, there would be more on this one. So there were, every month in ancient Israel, offerings given on the new moons. Why don't we keep them today? The regular burnt offering with its grain offering and with its drink offering, according to their ordinance, as a sweet aroma and an offering made by fire to the Eternal. So the Feast of Trumpets was a festival that occurred on the new moon. So some may draw the conclusion that because of verse 6, this is the first time that the use of new moon is in the Bible, but you'd be wrong. Now, if you look up the term in English, new moon, this is the first time you see it here. But the word behind this is used throughout the Old Testament, and we'll talk about that as we get there. In fact, this same word that I've underlined here, new moon, is in this same area here three times, the same word. If you look up in verse 1, I want to read that again. It says, in the seventh month. That word month is the Hebrew word kodesh, and it's the same as is translated in verse 6 as new moon. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, those are all the same word, kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. I'll tell you what it means in just a minute. It'll make more sense as we get there. The Hebrew term kodesh, and if I spell it in English, it would be something like C-H-O-D-E-S-H. The C-H is pronounced with a guttural. I heard a comedian one time say that to pronounce it properly, you needed to sound like you had swallowed a fishbone, and you were trying to get it out of your throat. Kodesh, it's just like you're trying to, it's actually pretty hard on the throat. The term hodesh is from a root word which means the new, the first, or the repaired. So you can see how that would make sense. The moon disappeared. What happened to it? You know, back in ancient days, that probably was a pretty scary thing. And then all of a sudden, after 30 hours or so of darkness, they saw this little sliver again. Ah, the moon was repaired. It got fixed. It's new. Again, it's reborn. You can even think back into Wicca or ancient pagan language where the sun on December the 21st during that winter solstice, it is a rebirth of the sun because it's not declining anymore. It's on its way back. So they would see this as a rebirth. So the word chodesh literally means the first that you see the moon or the new moon or the repaired moon. And it's the same word that's used throughout verse 1. I want to read a little bit from an article. This is an article on this Hebrew word, hodesh. The Hebrew word chodesh is translated month in most English language Bibles, but its root means making new or repairing. The moon orbits the earth, going through its phases as it changes position in relation to the sun and the earth. Approximately every 29 and a half days, and they've got that down to the millisecond now. And actually, in ancient times, 700-800 years ago, they had it down to the millisecond back then, too. It's amazing without a computer what people were able to do through observation. The moon comes into conjunction between the earth and the sun. If you remember that picture I had, it would be the sun and the earth, and then the moon would be in between them, all lined up. If you could stand far enough back and look, you'd see them all in a row. The sun and the earth would be in a row, and then the moon would be slightly below it, but they'd all be in line this way. In conjunction, the moon is totally dark, reflecting none of the sun's light. The sun is so bright that you can't see it anymore. As it moves westward away from conjunction, it begins to reflect light. Depending on the observer's location, the Earth's position at conjunction, the new moon will generally not be visible until 1 or 2 days after the conjunction. So there's a period of time when it's totally dark. If you've ever gone out on a completely moonless night, you can see more stars than you could see any other time because of the fact that there's nothing there. In fact, if you've never done it, please take a vacation one of these days up into a mountain where you're away from light pollution and just realize how many billions of stars are out there. You just don't know it from being in New Orleans or Dallas or wherever you might be. Take a trip sometime and see what that's like. It's phenomenal. Let's look at the very first time the word chodesh is mentioned, because it goes all the way back to God setting something up with Noah. Genesis chapter 7 in verse 11. This is the first time this word that gets translated month is used. This gets a little confusing, but to me it's fun to think about how to translate this. So it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month. Now, what does month mean? It means the first. So the second first. The second time that you first see the repair of the moon. So you see the crescent, and then 29 and a half days later, you see the crescent again. The second repair of the moon on the 17th day of the repair. So in other words, you first see it, and then you count 17. On that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Back in Noah's time, this was how they kept time. This was how they kept calendar. It was the 17th day of the second month. For us, we would say, well, you know, using our calendar, we would say February 17th. But of course, the second day of the seventh month here is the 17th day of the second month is a different time of year. But this is when Noah noted that the floods came. It was the second time they saw the crescent moon and then added 17 days. So here's the first mention of the word. Without a written or printed calendar, this was how they kept time. Now, something I want us to remember again, because it will come into play later on, this is completely separate from the weekly Sabbath counting. The counting of the Sabbath isn't connected with the moon. We don't have to have the moon to know when to keep the Sabbath. All we have to know to keep the Sabbath is we need a sun and we need the earth to be spinning. That's all we need. But the rest of it, we're not going to be able to figure out. The Sabbath is strictly a solar event, and it occurs at the start of a solar day at sunset. The weekly cycle of the Sabbath started from creation. The monthly cycle of counting is recorded here first after the flood. Why is this the first mention of a month? I've mentioned this before. I've never gotten into it. One of these days, if we want to have a speculation Bible study, I'll sit down and go through this. I think this is the first time that they were ever able to count time like this. Before the flood, it mentions that there were waters above the earth where if that's true, if the Van Allen belts held water, and I'm starting to get into it now, I know I've mentioned this before, you wouldn't be, the sun and the moon and the stars would be obscured by a layer of water. And it says during the flood that the waters came up out of the ground, but it also says that the waters came out from the heavens. It means more than just rain. We'll go into that one of these days. But all of a sudden, without that water up there, they're able to see the moon clearly, they're able to see the stars clearly, and they started to count time. The very first mention of star worship or sun worship or moon worship occurred after the flood with Nimrod. They could finally see them clearly for the first time. That is speculation. Don't call Mr. Horchak. What we do know about the cycle of the annual festivals requires a knowledge of the monthly cycle of the moon. So the Hebrew calendar is both lunar or monthly. It is also solar, daily. So people would say that the Hebrew calendar is a lunisolar calendar. It needs both the moon to determine when the seasons are, but it also needs the sun to determine when the days are. So let's talk about and establish the sacred year here. We've seen that God intended the moon to be used to delineate time. The months in the sacred calendar are established as lunar months. Therefore, the sighting of the new moon was ordained to establish the beginning of the monthly cycle. Let's read about that. Exodus 12. This is Egypt is in the rearview mirror. They've had their first Passover. They're out in the middle of the wilderness, and they don't have an Egyptian calendar anymore, and God wants them to keep this holy day annually. So he has to now establish a calendar for them to use, and here's how he does it. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, this is Exodus 12, verse 1, in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So the Egyptians probably had the first of the year at a different time, but this was going to be the beginning. So God is telling Moses, who is telling Israel, you need to watch the moon so that every time you've got a crescent, that's one. Next time you see it, that's two. Next time you see it, that's three. This would have been around halfway through the month already. So what he's saying is that last crescent that you saw, that's the first day of the year. So God now establishes through the moon when their new year starts. Their new year starts in the springtime. Speak to the congregation, verse 3, of the children of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, you will take a lamb according to the house of the father, a lamb for a household. And then we know that several days later, they would have the Passover. So God is now establishing by the moon when the holy day season would start. So if we didn't have the moon, we wouldn't be able to mark months. And if we didn't say God saying, and this one's going to be the first one, right? It would be as if we had a new moon, but we didn't know which one was number one. Maybe this is number three, maybe it's number 10. But God said, this one is going to be number one. So God, in Exodus, when the children of Israel are in the wilderness, he starts to establish a calendar. This tells us two things. It tells us this when the sacred year should begin. We already know that they were partway through the month. He looks back at the first sighting of the new moon and tells Israel that they're to start the year here. But it also establishes a point in time for the festivals. So without this marker, we wouldn't know any of the festivals, right? Because if you look at the Bible, what does it say? When was trumpets? The first day of the seventh month. Well, if you don't know when the first month is, you're not going to know when the seventh month is. You can't keep any of them. So you've got to have the moon, and you've got to have a marker that says this is first. And that's what we see established right here in Exodus chapter 12. Everything points to this one event. So here's the question. Should we observe this? Ancient Israel certainly did. Why did they do that? They didn't have a... Do you have a calendar, a magnetized calendar on your refrigerator? Does it have the new moon and the full moons on it? Mine does. I looked just to make sure, because as a kid, I remember seeing those, and I looked. The calendar that we've got on our refrigerator has the new moon and the full moons marked. I'll bet you if you've got a calendar on your refrigerator, it's there. You just don't see it. It's just not something that we think about. We've got a calendar that we can look at. I can go to nasa.gov, or I can go to weather.com and find out when the new moon is going to be. Ancient Israel didn't have the internet, and they didn't have a printed calendar. They had to go out and look. So they observed it. And in the process of observing it, it became a celebration for them. We'll talk about it. How was the new moon observed in the Old Testament? So now I want to go back and I want to look at several cases. I can't look at them all for the sake of time, but I want to look at several cases where the new moon was kept and how it was kept. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. Second Chronicles chapter 8. Let's read verses 12 and 13. This is the time of Solomon. Notice what Solomon did. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the vestibule. This is when we've got the tabernacle at first, and then later on Solomon builds a temple. And there is an altar at the temple. Well, what do you do on the altar? You offer sacrifices. So he's now making some determinations as to how that should be done. Verse 13, according to the daily rate, offering according to the commandment of Moses for Sabbaths, for new moons, and for the appointed feasts. So again, we see here, just like we saw earlier, during this time, there were Sabbaths that there were special offerings made. There were festivals where there were special offerings made. But every month, there was a special offering on the new moon. And notice what Solomon says. Solomon says that this was according to the commandment of Moses. Well, didn't Moses get those commandments from God? And therefore, you can see the logic of this. Therefore, if they kept the Sabbaths and the holy days and the new moons, then we're only doing two of the three, and we're out of step with what God wants. Is that what this is saying? The Sabbath, the new moons, and the appointed feasts, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, they go through and they talk about several of those that they were to have these. So Solomon refers to this instruction from Moses to Israel. So it is obvious from 2 Chronicles 8 that at the time of David and at the time of Solomon, they observed with sacrifices every month the new moon. All right, let's just go through a couple of these. There are a lot more like that, but I'll just give you one of each. Numbers chapter 10. I'll start with verse 2 so you know what they're talking about, and then drop down to verse 10. Numbers 10, verse 2. They were instructed, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You'll make them of hammered work, and you will use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. So these two trumpets were to be used special. They weren't shofars. They were horns of metal. They would have had a different sound to them than a shofar, and people would have been able to say, oh, these are one of those metal trumpets because they have a different sound. And they were used for a specific purpose. Here's some of the things they were used for. Look at verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, at the beginning of your months, you will blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they will be a memorial for you before your God, for I am the Lord your God. So here we have it again. The trumpets that they made out of metal were to be blown on the feast, but they were also to be blown at the beginning of every month. So is that something we should do? Now, why did they do this? Because they didn't have a magnet on their refrigerator. Somebody needed to tell them when the first of the month was. Maybe it was cloudy and they couldn't see or whatever. And so every Sabbath, they would blow the shofar. Every start of the month, they would blow the metal horn. And at the feast, they would blow the metal horn. Any of you ever been to Jerusalem and the start of the Sabbath where all these people come out and they get out onto their balconies and you hear all the shofars starting to blow? It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a beautiful way to mark the start of a holy day or a festival. So we know, again, Solomon kept it. We know back here in Numbers that Moses said, you will make two metal trumpets and you will blow that trumpet at the new moon. Is that something we should do? Let's go forward and look at another incident. And again, there are a lot of scriptures that talk about just that. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Let's look at something else that happened. We'll read verses 5, 18, and 24. I'm breaking this into a small story. This actually goes over a couple of chapters. David is being pursued by King Saul. Remember, King Saul was always trying to kill David. He had this evil spirit or demon that was possessing him, and he kept throwing a javelin at David, trying to pin him against the wall. So in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 5, we get a glimpse as to something that Saul did. Now, this is before Solomon. This is before David. This is King Saul. Then David said to Jonathan, indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. Every new moon, every first day of the month, the king had a special dinner. You guys ever do a special dinner? You do a special dinner on maybe Friday evening before the Sabbath starts? King Saul did that at the beginning of every new moon. He had a special dinner. Verse 18, "But let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening." And then Jonathan said to David, "Now tomorrow's the new moon and you're going to be missed because your seat's empty." David was expected to be at this observance of the new moon. They had a special meal. Verse 24, "Then David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast." And guess what? He asked the question, "Where's David?" It's the new moon. He should be here. All right, so now we see another example of where this was kept in the Old Testament. You see how we're building here? This was obviously an event that ancient Israel kept. Why don't we? Let's look at one more. This is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. This, to me, is a humorous use of it, but it is nonetheless. I want to give you the long story here, and then we'll actually read these two verses. There's a lady who had a son, and the son was sick, and the son died. And she didn't want to tell her husband that her son had died. Now, it doesn't say why, but it says that after the boy died, she took the boy up into the upper room and closed the door and didn't tell her husband. She comes downstairs, and this is where the story comes up. She goes, 2 Kings 4, verse 22. "Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back.'" So he doesn't know what she's talking about. This doesn't make any sense. Why do you want the donkey? You don't ever go anywhere, right? Why are you wanting to do this, not knowing that her son has died? Verse 23, "So he said back to her, 'Why are you going today? It's not the new moon and it's not the Sabbath.'" So obviously on the new moon and on the Sabbaths, they would travel. They would go to synagogue or they would go to the place where God would hold a celebration. So just in kind of a humorous way here, what she was doing is she was going to find the man of God to say, will you pray for my son so that he can be resurrected? It didn't make any sense to the husband because this wasn't a new moon or it wasn't a festival or it wasn't a Sabbath. So obviously, the Shunammite woman and her husband were keeping a new moon celebration. It was enough for them to get on their donkeys and travel 5 or 6 hours or whatever to wherever a meeting was going to be held. All right, so with that, the question is, are we required to keep the new moons, the 12 occurrences once a month or in some years 13 months, as holy time? Should we be having, should I be having Tommy Lettier go to the Holiday Inn and say, "Okay, we need 12 more instances a month where we need your room because we've got to get together for the observance of the new moons." I went out on several Jewish websites, and they are, I use the term religious about this. Obviously, they're religious anyway, but they are very strict about the Sabbath. They're very strict about the festivals, and they are very strict about getting together on the new moon. Should we be doing this? Look at all those observances of it in the Old Testament. Is that something that we're required to do? What I want to go through and look at each example that was cited here, and there were four of them, actually five of them, and let's see whether or not these were commanded or whether they were just done. Let's start in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Now, I could read through the entire chapter, and you would see this all the way through, but I'll just read the first two verses to set the stage. "The Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, the feasts,'" what's that word again? Moed. "The festivals, the appointments, that thing that the moon tells you when to keep, the festivals of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So there are a lot of appointments. I have next Wednesday a dentist appointment. That's a moed. I have an appointment next Thursday for a conference call with Doug Horchek. That's a moed. I also have on the Sabbath an appointment to go to Dafuniac Springs in Mobile. That's a moed. Here, what he's saying here is, tell the children of Israel and say, the appointments that you're to keep holy are these. And then he lists them. The Sabbath, Passover, Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, last great day. Those are the moeds that are holy convocations. New moons aren't mentioned here. The new moons are not listed anywhere in the Old Testament. They were listed as being observed, but they weren't listed as being holy days. They weren't listed as being holy convocations. Again, when you read it here, he's saying, of all the appointments that may be out there, these are the ones that you have to keep holy. And the new moons weren't listed there. Specifically called out as festivals and holy days, the command to offer burnt offerings on new moons, absolutely they were there. But are we under obligation to offer burnt offerings anymore? Do we offer burnt offerings today? I actually was asked that one time. Somebody came onto the Ambassador College campus, was putting in a phone system, and he pulled me aside and he said, I have heard that you guys do Saturday instead of Sunday and you're kind of Jewish in your Old Testament. Do you guys sacrifice goats? And I thought he was kidding. And I said, no. I said, rabbits occasionally, but never a goat. And his eyes got really big, and then I realized he wasn't joking. He didn't know. Ancient Israel sacrificed burnt offerings. What did that represent? What did burnt offerings represent? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're told in the New Testament, once the sacrifice of Jesus Christ occurred, once there's no longer a temple, there's no tabernacle, and there's no altar, because in 70 AD those were blown up by the Romans, there's no need to do burnt sacrifices anymore. So yes, there were burnt sacrifices that were done on the Sabbath. There were burnt sacrifices that were done on the festivals. There were burnt sacrifices that were done on the new moons. There were also burnt sacrifices done if you sinned, and on any day of the week, and you could bring an offering and have that offered as a burnt offering. That didn't have to be on a holy day. What we're told is the Sabbath and the festivals were holy time. But the burnt offerings were in a lot of different times. There were all kinds of times. When God made a covenant with Abraham, it was a burnt offering covenant. That wasn't on a Sabbath, wasn't on a holy day, and we don't have to observe that today. The new moons had a burnt offering on them, but we are not under an obligation to keep burnt offerings. That stopped with the change in the priesthood at the death of Jesus Christ. We don't have a tabernacle or a temple or an altar on which to offer burnt offerings anymore. But guess what is going to come in the millennium? It'll be back again. We'll get to that in just a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. Are we commanded to blow a shofar or a trumpet at the beginning of each Sabbath? Is that a command? No. Is it fun to do? Yeah. If you got, I think Sam Dungan has one. I think Buford, you probably have one, don't you? Where'd Buford go? Do you have a shofar at home? No, you just got your regular trumpet. You got a shofar? I mean, it's a fun tradition, but is there something in the Bible that says that we're to blow a shofar at the start of the Sabbath or whatever? No. They were commanded to blow a shofar at the start of each month to mark it, but there's no command in the Bible, again, that says that that is something that we have to do. Are we commanded to blow a trumpet at the beginning of each Sabbath? No. Israel did so that they could mark time. How about King Saul's special dinner? Is there anywhere in the Bible that we're commanded on a new moon to have a meal? No. Can we? Absolutely. If you want to establish as a tradition in your home that you're going to have a special meal on the first day of the lunar month when the new moon starts, you're welcome to it. But there is no commandment in the Bible. King Saul obviously set that up as one day a month he could get together with his family. I think it's a great idea. But it is nowhere was commanded. There's no mention that ancient Israel was to gather for a special dinner on the new moon. That was his decision. The Shulamite woman wanted to visit the priest of God or the prophet. Can we only visit a minister of God on a Sabbath or a new moon? No, I get calls day and night from you folks. That's my job. Or an email, right? I mean, or a text. I get texts all the time. And I have to tell you, please send it to me in an email. I get texts a lot for people saying, can you please ask the brethren too? And then I ask them to please email it so that I can then copy and paste and not get it wrong. No, you can call a minister at any time. Just as confused as that guy was, because the only time they got out were on Sabbath and new moons. But we don't have to wait for that period of time. The Sabbath of the new moon isn't the only time to talk to a minister. It was simply the usual time for the Shulamite woman and her husband to travel. They probably were farmers, they had cattle, etc. And because of the sacrifices that were being offered in Israel, there was a certain time when they would go, and they were Sabbaths and new moons. There is no command in the Bible to treat the new moons or the first day of the month as holy time. Again, if you want to know what holy time is, Leviticus 23 gives a complete listing, including the Sabbaths, which were solar, and the festivals, which were lunar. But how about the future? We know that Israel kept it in the past. We're not now. What are they going to do in the future? If they're going to keep them in the future and they kept them in the past, are we missing something by not keeping them now? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. And we'll read two examples here. This is all talking about a future time after the return of the Messiah, when the millennium is set up. Isaiah 66, verse 23. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says the Lord. Guess what? In the millennium, we will keep a weekly Sabbath. In the millennium, we will have an observance every new moon. Uh-oh. They did it then. They're going to do it in the future. Are we missing something now? Why will God reestablish a new moon observance in the millennium? Drum roll, please. No. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 46 and let's answer that. Here's something that's going to happen in the millennium that is not happening now. Ezekiel 46, starting in verse 1. And let's make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself. Okay, good. Thus says the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and on the day of the new moon it shall be opened. What's he talking about? He's talking about another temple. He's talking about another altar that's going to be established in Jerusalem. When Jesus Christ returns, he's going to set up the sacrificial system again. We're going to read about it here. And what they're saying is there's a certain time when you're going to open the doors to let people in to be able to do these offerings. The Sabbath, they will be able to do so, but also on the celebration of the new moons when there will be sacrifices offered again, you're going to open the doors. Verse 2, the prince shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside and stand by the gatepost. There's going to be a procession. If you've ever seen how a parade is done, or like if you ever go watch the Blue Angels do their thing, they have a procession of how they do things so that they all stay in line. The priests shall prepare the burnt offering and the peace offering, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. So it's to be opened on the Sabbath, and it's to be opened on the new moons. Verse 3, likewise the people of the land will worship at the entrance of the gateway before the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons. So again, in this period of time where they're now having animal sacrifices again, the celebration of the new moons will recur. Verse 6, and on the day of the new moon it shall be a young bull without blemish, 6 lambs and a ram, and they shall be without blemish, just like was set up in the Old Testament. So you had in the Old Testament, at the new moon, here's what you offered. You offered this, 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 and this. That is going to get reestablished in the millennium. Why is God going to reestablish the sacrificial system? That's a better question, right? I'm not sure I completely have the answer to that, but there's, for whatever reason, when Jesus Christ returns, they will reestablish the sacrificial system. But we do not have the sacrificial system now. We're very clearly told in the New Testament that with the change of the priesthood from Aaron to Melchizedek, certain things were stopped, and the giving of animal sacrifices is one of them. They did it then, they will do it again, but they're not doing it right now. So there will again be a temple, there will be an altar, and God will reinstate the sacrificial system. At that time, the sacrifices will occur on the Sabbath, on the new moons, and on the festivals, as God describes here. Would we say that because ancient Israel offered it, and in the millennium they're going to offer it, that we should do that today? No, the Church of God, a worldwide association, would say that we are not under an obligation to keep that. By same token, because ancient Israel kept the new moons in which they offered sacrifices, and they will again, that doesn't mean that we have to have animal sacrifices now. To say that we have to keep the new moons would mean that we have to start sacrificing animals, because that was what they did on the new moons. They sacrificed animals. We don't have that today. Our new moon's important. Start to draw this to a close. Just a few minutes left. Our new moon's important. You better believe they are. We have to know when the new moons are to establish the calendar. We use a Jewish calculated calendar today. That's a whole nother discussion, whether it's observed or calculated. But the people that are in charge of this, during the days of Jesus Christ, it was the Sanhedrin. They were the ones that developed the calendar and kept it up to date. In the 400s AD, when the Sanhedrin became of no use anymore, Hillel II wrote down the instructions. You can actually see them written down. Here's how to calculate a calendar. It was kept secret because, the priest needed a job, and so they wouldn't let anybody else know how to calculate it, so it was kept this big secret. But after the Sanhedrin started to dissolve, Hillel II wrote it down. So we have the written instructions on how to do a calendar. And that's what we follow today. Without the moons, we wouldn't know when to observe the festivals that Leviticus 23 tells us we are to keep. They are holy convocations, and we need the moon to figure that out. Is it wrong to note when the new moons are? No, it's not any more wrong than the calendar that I have on the refrigerator that shows me when they are. They're important to know. Remember, only God can make time holy, and he never made the new moons holy. He set them aside for a sacrificial system, but without the sacrificial system, we teach that these days are not commanded. Now, I know that that's a lot of information. Hopefully it wasn't so detailed that it was mind-numbing, but I know these questions pop up from time to time. Again, we have this really good article on the calendar. If you want to get into that, if you're that detailed, and it is really detailed. If that is something that you want to do, I encourage you to go see that. Again, it's only one of the many things that are questioned by people that come up from time to time, well-meaning people, but opinionated people that have their idea of what we should and shouldn't be doing. This is the official teaching on new moons of the Church of God, a worldwide association.